It's going straight in the tank.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. I'm talking about your raise this year. A new survey finds a big chunk of that pay increase will go to your local gas station. Salary.com says workers getting a 3.7% hike will spend all but a fraction of it on gasoline. The survey of 90 cities finds the most expensive place for commuters is Brownsville, Texas. People there spend almost 5% of their income on gas. Cheapest city, Santa Ana, California, where it's only 2%. With prices what they are, people are starting to use less gas. At least we're expecting the Energy Department to forecast slowing demand this morning. Okay, so will prices come down then? As Stacey Vanek-Smith reports, don't get your hopes up.
We've been hearing a lot lately about demand for oil softening and oil production in the Gulf picking up again. That's caused some speculation that energy prices will ease up a bit. But Robert Bryce with the World Energy Monthly Review says don't believe it.
Short of China shutting down, I don't see prices falling.
Bryce says no matter how high prices for natural gas, crude, and heating oil get, world demand isn't likely to slow.
The fact that prices continue to be strong is a reflection of the fact that there's virtually no slack in any part of the supply chain in the energy business.
Bryce says that goes for the entire market, with especially severe price spikes in diesel fuel and heating oil. And don't forget natural gas. Those bills are expected to rise by an average of 50% for households this winter. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Apple's fourth quarter was golden delicious, but Wall Street isn't taking a bite. In the past 3 months, the company quadrupled its profit, but Apple shares plunged more than 10% in after-hours trading. Analysts were expecting the company to sell at least 7.5 million iPods. It sold 6.5 million. Tough crowd. Today, Apple rolls out its latest iPod model. What will it do? Some predict play movies. Others say have a bigger hard drive. I'm thinking maybe make cappuccino. Whatever it does, apparently people are still buying these things. Marketplace's Ethan Lindsay reports.
Since the beginning, predicting the death of the Apple iPod has been a popular parlor game, even among its biggest supporters. The question, once consumers bought their first device, how many more could you sell?
I have people writing in talking about how they're on their third iPod.
James Kim covers MP3 players for CNET.com.
There's a huge market of potential sales. They're going for niche markets, but one of their niche markets, I believe, is just enthusiasts.
Now, instead of worrying about a saturated market, Apple CEO Steve Jobs can worry if customers have enough desk space for the next iPod. It's becoming pretty crowded, what with all the minis, nanos, photos, and shuffle players. I'm Ethan Lindsay for Marketplace.
One other tech note this morning, Microsoft and Yahoo IMers will now be able to chat with each other. Companies have decided to sync up their instant messaging programs. IBM and GM helped blue chips, but semiconductor stocks brought down the techies. The Dow closed up 14 points to end at 10,253. The S&P 500 dropped 2 to finish at 1184. NASDAQ fell 17 to wind up at 2061. The dollar rose in Asian trading today. This is Marketplace. Duke University releases a study today on offshoring and outsourcing. India still leads the way in that department, but China is gaining quickly. Alisa Roth has more.
As you might expect, the study found that saving money remains the number one reason companies look overseas for workers. Ron Hira studies outsourcing at the Rochester Institute of Technology. He says he's not surprised the study found that the need to save money is pushing companies to expand outsourcing beyond basic functions like call centers.
If you can save money offshoring call center operations, obviously you're going to do it, but you can also save money offshoring engineering, research and development, product design. You're also going to do that.
The study found outsourcing research and development has the highest potential for saving money, but don't expect companies to rush these jobs offshore. The study also shows that R&D and product design are among the hardest to set up overseas. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management. HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org. By Toyota, designing vehicles with hybrid synergy drive for fuel efficiency and low emissions. More at toyota.com. Toyota, moving forward. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Alan Greenspan travels to Beijing this week to talk with the Chinese about their currency. It's one of his final trips as chairman of the Federal Reserve. He steps down at the end of December after 18 years. In this edition of The Public's Business, commentator Robert Reich says the president should choose Greenspan's successor carefully.
Alan Greenspan's greatest achievement was to understand that our economy could run faster and employ more people without spurring inflation than was commonly assumed in the 1990s. He knew that technology and globalization were placing intense pressures on companies to keep prices in check even when demand soared. As a result, more than 20 million jobs were created in the 1990s, and inequality of income and wealth actually dropped for several years. Greenspan's greatest failure was not to oppose the Bush tax cuts of 2001 and 2003. And now that the budget deficit is out of control because of them, he should be demanding they be rolled back. No one's perfect, but the stakes for Greenspan's successor are huge. The economy is now on the verge of something we haven't seen in 30 years, the dread beast called stagflation. The growing budget deficit, combined with soaring energy costs, are pushing prices upward, and consumers are showing signs that the higher prices are discouraging them from buying. If the president nominates to the Fed someone as undistinguished as Harriet Myers, his current nominee to the Supreme Court, or Michael Brown, his former pick for the Federal Emergency Management Agency, were in trouble. These two, like many others in the administration, were friends of the president, or friends of friends. Now, even if some cronyism is inevitable in government, it shouldn't have a place at the highest levels. White House staffers say the president wants someone at the Fed with whom he can have a good rapport. But a good rapport shouldn't be the criterion for the next Fed chief. The Senate will have a lot to say about the president's nominee for the Fed, but financial markets will have even more to say. Unlike presidential nominees for the Supreme Court, nominees for the Fed must be approved by financial markets. Wall Street doesn't have a formal veto, of course, but if the president nominates someone whose major credential is being a nice person and a friend of the president, the market may well reject him or her. You see, Wall Street's current valuations depend to a large extent on investors' confidence in Alan Greenspan. Take away Greenspan and put a lackey in his place, and confidence plummets. And when Wall Street's confidence drops, so will stock and bond prices. And when they drop, you can bet the administration and Congress will reverse course and find someone who will make investors feel better. It's not the old constitutional system of checks and balances. Call it the market system of checkbooks and account balances. And when it comes to the next Fed chief, it's the best safeguard we have against cronyism.
Robert Reich's commentaries and articles can be found at robertreich.org. That's R-E-I-C-H. He'll be back in a couple weeks. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
It's hard to avoid ads on...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.